Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As mentioned, the reading, the text is from Acts 1. As you probably know, Ascension Day actually falls on Thursday, 40 days after Easter. 40 days after Christ rose from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Arose victorious so that you and I know the great good news that in spite of the fact that we are weak and sinful people, God loves us and forgives us through His Son, and one day we'll live with Him in heaven. So although Ascension was on Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit about it today. My last 2 years of high school and first 2 years of college, I spent the summers as lifeguard and pool manager at our small town city swimming pool. One part of the job that I liked the most was teaching swimming lessons and then teaching life-saving lessons. When I was teaching life-saving lessons, I knew I always had two jobs to do. One was to give the students the physical skills to be able to save a life in a drowning situation. The second was to prepare them mentally for the fact that people who drown don't act normally. People who drown usually panic. That's one of the definitions I made them memorize from the first day of class. In almost every drowning situation, people panic. They don't act the way you would expect them to. So the Red Cross said every lifesaver must understand panic and what it will mean. So after I had initially started them, they needed to be ready, and if I would point to them, I would say panic, they needed to say panic, that sudden unreasoning and overwhelming fear that strikes in the face of real or imagined danger. They needed to know people would panic. When they were facing the difficulty or the unknown, they wouldn't respond normally. I know it's a good definition. I've seen people panic in a swimming pool. I've seen people actually start to drown a few feet from safety. In a city pool, which is usually about 8 feet deep, the average person could just sink to the bottom and bounce off. But if you're panicky, you can't do that. I've also seen panic in the military. It's Memorial Day weekend, and so maybe I'll mention a little from the Army. A memorable part for most people in the military was the gas chamber. How many here experienced the gas chamber? Okay, a few. The gas chamber was an experience in basic training where you were supposed to put on your, we called it gas mask, but the proper term was your protective mask, and you would be marched into a building where they were releasing gas. After spending some time in the chamber, breathing through your protective mask, each soldier would line up and you'd stand before the drill sergeant and he would say, take off your mask. And you'd have to take off your mask and then say your name, your rank, and your serial number and answer any question he might ask. And only then could you run out. The problem was, while you're saying those things, you're breathing in the gas and your eyes are starting to water and it's starting to choke you in the throat. The purpose of this exercise was to remind you how important this exercise was, how important your protective mask was, and that if someone yelled gas, you had better learn to put it on properly and use it immediately. Part of what set in as panic or caused the panic was there was always a rumor about that particular gas chamber. One part of the rumor would be, some of you will be given a mask that doesn't work and you'll just have to stand there and suffer. And then the other rumor was, you will be blinded from the gas in your eyes, and when you run out the door, when you're finally allowed to, there's a big wall or a rock or a big tree and you'll run smack into it. Some of the soldiers would panic as soon as they got in the gas chamber and got sort of a whiff of gas, and all they really needed to do was tighten up their mask a little bit, but they were panicky and wanted to run. And those, when made to take off their mask and answer the questions, when they finally could run out, were told, don't rub the gas into your eyes. Run into the wind. Let it blow it away. You'll be fine. But invariably, they run out of the gas chamber and start rubbing their eyes and rubbing the gas into it instead. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they were panicky and didn't do it. Well, by now, somebody's saying, okay, Pastor, but what the heck does that have to do with Ascension Day? As I was reading the various accounts of the Ascension, I found myself wondering how the disciples felt that day. They'd been through a lot in the 43 days since Good Friday. I wonder how they were feeling when they were told he's going away again. Their spirits had been crushed on Good Friday when they saw the man they loved, the Messiah they thought, put to death on the cross. And then in fear and doubt, they'd hid themselves away from the Jews behind locked doors. And then they had the joy of Easter morning when they got the message, he's not here, he is arisen just as he said. And then he came and appeared to them, and they got to see him and talk to him and touch him and eat with him again. But now he said, I'm going away again. I'm sure there was some sense of panic that sort of went in a wave over the disciples. They probably flashed back to the fear in the garden and the horror of Good Friday and the crushing depression they felt in those days before Easter. We know they're still confused. Did you hear the question they asked? Are you going to start your earthly kingdom now? Jesus must have went, good grief, guys. How many times do I have to tell you my kingdom is not of this world? I'm going away, but I'll come back for you. If those kinds of fears and doubts were not enough, Jesus gives them some instruction that is in Matthew 28. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Not only was Jesus leaving them, now they're commanded to go to the whole world of that day and preach the good news that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. All nations. That meant the Romans who had put Jesus to death. That meant the Jewish leaders who had caused him to be put on the cross. It meant leaving their homes and going to foreign lands to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I think it would be easy to understand if there was some sense of panic about how am I going to do all that he expects me to do. But Jesus added a sentence that I think must have eased their fears and doubts. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. In preparing the disciples, in talking to them about what they should do and how they should do it, in preparing them, saying he was going away, he'd prepare a place in heaven, he'd come back and take them, he says to them, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And as a final reminder, he left them with the words, lo, I am with you always. With those words, he comforted the disciples and then he ascended up into heaven. He ascended, assuring them that he was the Son of God, he was the Savior of the world, and he would come for them one day. Now I suspect some of you, if not all of you, have experienced the sense of panic that I mentioned. Maybe when you went off to the military or to college or your first separation from home for some reason. Maybe when you were laid off from a job and didn't know where the next one was coming from. Maybe when someone was quite ill. Maybe after the death of a loved one. Or maybe just when the pressure of day-to-day living, trying to get through it all, built up to the point where you felt like, I don't know if I can stand anymore. Well, when that occurs to a greater or lesser degree, you and I need to listen to the words of our Savior. Lo, I am with you always. Not just when you're in church on Sunday. Not just when you've been good, not just when things are going well, but always. Even when you're so troubled it's difficult to pray. Jesus is always there, ready to help, waiting to hear from you, wanting to provide you answers. Now usually he's not going to just push a magic button and all your fears and doubts and troubles will go away. but he'll give you strength. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you courage to face whatever is happening. With his words to the disciples, he was promising that although they would be beaten and whipped and mocked and imprisoned and many of them would die, he would be with them. You know, when I returned to a place of basic training, that was what my Army Reserve unit did, as a chaplain, we would wait outside the gas chamber, wait for the young recruits to come out, and as soon as they were out, we'd say, "Don't touch your eyes, run into the wind, keep moving, you'll be okay." And in a little bit, the gas dissipated, and they were okay. And the next time they knew what to do. An experience of fear now became something to brag about. "Yeah, I went through the gas chamber and didn't bother me at all." And they'd immediately start spreading the rumor so that the next bunch would be worried about going through. Luke's account tells us the disciples went into the city with great joy, and they did begin the task of spreading the message of salvation through faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They were ready to be eyewitnesses to the life and death of their Messiah. They could say, "We've seen the resurrection. He is alive and well. We saw him go up to heaven. We know his promise to return." The disciples were comforted by the words of the angels. And I'm sure they shared it with one another in the future. Again and again, they heard those words, "Lo, I am with you always." They took strength in words like these in John 14. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I am coming back to you." Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, and I'm coming back for you one day, and I'll send the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you." The Ascension story has other messages, but today just take this one simple thought with you. Your Savior, the one who died on the cross to pay for your sins personally, the one who cares for you, says that he's going to return for you. And he also says, "I'll be with you always in every situation and circumstance in life." Part of the reason I think this message is so important is what's happening in our world right now. We look at our televisions and see the war in Ukraine and the Russians attacking there. There's still famine and disease in the world. 10 people are just shopping in a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and they're shot and killed. 19 children and 2 teachers are senselessly killed in Texas. There seems to be so much hate and anger in our world. The past 2 weeks, our Bible class has been talking about having compassion. Compassion not only seeing the needs of our world, but trying to reach out and meet them. Here in our own congregation, we have a fair number of seniors, including me. And so we've spent time talking about things like somebody's got surgery coming up, or somebody had a heart attack or a stroke, or we talk about how depressing it would be to live in a nursing home, but gradually losing our independence, and I could go on and on. How do we cope? How do we handle the cares and concerns of this world? The Bible says, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." God wants you to give the struggles of your life to him, to learn to trust that he will help you handle them. It may be difficult, you may struggle, but he's going to go with you. He will do what needs to be done and give you the courage to handle every situation. In the book of Acts account, the angel said to the disciples, "Why do you stand staring at the sky?" The angel's message was, got to look down, look around, and get busy. It's time to start doing what you were told to do to spread the good news of salvation. The task is still before us today. Whatever the situation in your life, whatever challenges you face, God wants to go with you. And God wants to bless you and bless your efforts to serve him. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." Take comfort in that great message. It's for you personally. A promise that he will come to you in every situation and send you the power of his Holy Spirit. Having received that comfort, may you find ways to share love and care and compassion with those around you. And when you have the opportunity, share the great good news. He is risen just as he said, and he'll come again for you one day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.